Early in her career, Bethany Collins learned the power words have to hurt, and drawing on her instincts as an artist, she also learned how she could take a hold of those words to explore their potency. A Pattern or Practice is currently up through March 31st at the University Galleries. One of Collins' earliest works on display is a large chalkboard. Various letters form swarms and constellations across the black space. It's from a series of works entitled White Noise. Curator and gallery director Kendra Pates says with this work, Collins started addressing the intersection of race and language.
These early works from White Noise come out of personal experiences. When she was in graduate school, she would have these critiques. You know, when you're a student and you're making artwork, you are constantly making yourself really vulnerable. So you're making something and then you're putting it up in front of all of your peers, in front of your faculty, for it to be evaluated out loud.
And critiques can hurt.
And sometimes they're not constructive at all.
I see a sentence down here, do people ever think you're white?
Yeah, so her experience was that people would say these really racially charged things about her work. And so she started to take that language and turn it into her work. So you mentioned these clusters that we see here. These are her taking different sentences, such as, do people ever think you're white? Yeah, but Obama's president now. So one person suggested that she needed to put a slave ship into her work. So these really shocking and not at all constructive critiques. So she started working with that language. It was a way of processing it, of breaking down its power. So these
letters on here are literally lifted out of those quite unhelpful critiques.
You know, she would just work through them, process these words with her own body. So she didn't really pre-plan the composition of them. She just started writing and writing and writing, and did so until she couldn't physically write those words anymore. And in these White Noise series, you can see the sentences written in the background, but erased. So we think about these different ways that we receive language. So I know not every classroom has a chalkboard with chalk anymore, but thinking about how this stands in for an educational, you know, that delivery of information, that authority of information. So she's using these other sources as we look through the exhibition, like dictionaries, these definitive authorities on language. But chalk can be erased, you know, it treads this line between visible and invisible. So with White Noise, in several instances, you do still see the sentence itself in the background. When she moved to later series, that's not the case. They're completely comprised of the clusters, and you need the title of the work to be able to engage with what the sentence originally was.
It's interesting looking at all these letters that are crowding around and they're swarming around, and she wrote them over and over and over again. It's like almost like this chalk incantation of trying to take the power away from the words that were so hurtful.
Yeah, I think it really does disrupt them, you know, takes apart their structure, dismantles them, and turns them into something different. And we think about, you know, she has a reason behind everything she does. So titling this series White Noise also, you can think about white noise in terms of race. These things were said typically by Caucasian people to her. Also white noise in some of the tours that I've done with younger audience members, I've played white noise on my phone.
So they know what it sounds like, yeah.
Thinking about that static or that background noise and turning this into background noise.
And over here we have what looks like a hymnal. There's looks like music notes on there.
Yes, so this piece is called America Hymnal, and Bethany worked with Candor Arts, a Chicago arts book publisher. So this was produced in an edition of 25. We have a copy here from a collector, but ISU actually has a copy in special collections at Milner Library because we have the most amazing library staff. So Kathleen Lonbaum was able to secure the funds for us to purchase one, which is on display at Milner Library with some supplementary reading materials for the run of this exhibition. But Bethany worked with Candor Arts to make this book, and it's rooted in her research about patriotic songs. In this case, My Country, Tis of Thee, which she said there are 100 different versions of, each with different lyrics supporting causes for a wide variety of issues: women's suffrage, temperance, abolition. And so as you're looking through the book, where you expect to see musical notes, I mean, we have the general iconography of a hymnal here with staff lines, lyrics, notes, but these notes have been laser cut and burned. The hymnal does have a smell. You can smell that the pages are burned. We have it under a vitrine here to preserve it because this belongs to a collector. She's taken the form of a shape note hymnal. So we have this cloth-bound rectangular book, and then the lyrics are stamped in it in red. So we see the differences among the different versions of it. Because we have it under a vitrine, we do periodically switch the pages.
people can
see something different when they come in, since they can't physically handle the book.
Let's take a look at some more. We have some dictionaries here.
We do, and I love talking about the dictionaries and the tours, because as we come up to them, they might seem a little unassuming. A dictionary sitting open on a stand is something that so many of us have encountered before. But as we're talking about it in these tours, people's eyes start to really pop as we talk about Bethany's process and her research. So here we have three different dictionaries. One is colorblind dictionary, one is colorless dictionary, and one is black and blue dictionary. And in each instance, she's gone through cover to cover and erased terms. So in black
and blue. That's thousands of pages.
Thousands of pages. So in black and blue dictionary, she erased every term related to the colors black or blue. And you can see on this one page, there are probably at least 25 erasures. She's not only one of the only people I know who's read a single dictionary cover to cover. She's done it multiple times. She's analyzed it. She's thought about each term in it and then erased it.
Seems like for Bethany, words are the ultimate medium.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we look through these different dictionaries, she has, in colorblind dictionary, for instance, or colorless dictionary, removed all terms related to color. But she's also interested in the way these dictionaries were put together. Who was the editorial board for them? What's happening in it? If a poet was part of the editorial board, are the examples more lyrical than in other versions? In one of them, I think it was from the late 60s, she said that the examples are more bodily than they need to be, or more aggressive than they need to be, more kind of violence within it. So thinking about how these sources of information, you know, even when I'm talking with ISU students, I say, like, okay, well, I know that if you're thinking about what does a word mean, you probably type it into Google. I said, but that's pulling from a dictionary still. So thinking about these different authorities of language and how whoever is on the board, whoever's editing it, how their biases get embedded within each edition. As part of the materials list, she lists what dictionary it is and what year. So colorless dictionary is a found Webster's Illustrated Contemporary Dictionary from 1988, while Black and Blue Dictionary is a Webster's New American Dictionary from 1965.
So over here we have some framed works with, looks like, letters that have been heavily redacted.
Yeah, so the black that you're seeing on here is a really thick application of charcoal. And for anybody who's worked with charcoal,
it's, you know, messy.
It's messy. And so these pages that are here, which are from a 1985 special edition of Southern Review Journal, she's redacted areas, like you said, making this sort of abstraction of the language, but you see her fingerprints everywhere. You see her physical handling of the pages. The reason she wanted to draw attention to this particular issue of Southern Review, I should say this is one of three different versions of Southern Review that she's made, all installed in a large framed grid. The Studio Museum in Harlem has one. She has an unframed version. And then there's this one, which we borrowed from a collector in Chicago. But this one is particularly important to her because it's from this issue of Southern Review from 1985, where she said the editors essentially acknowledged that they had not been featuring enough or any writers of color or addressing the work of writers of color, and that this was their first step toward rectifying that.
That's curator and gallery director Kendra Pates. A Pattern or Practice is on view at the University Galleries through March 31st. I'm Laura Kennedy.